The Second Report of the Shipwrecked Foreigner to the Kadan of Derb, 1984. In November of 1984, the Seattle branch of Antioch University invited Vonda N. McIntyre and myself to chair a day-long conference on women, power, and leadership. Expecting 15 or 20 participants, and faced with 95 women and 3 men, Vonda and I were pretty well floored. We floundered about all morning trying to pull the thing together. Object lessons in the inexperience of women given the power of leadership, certainly. We asked the group for help, and a quiet woman at the back proposed a format that satisfied both those who wanted to hear us speak as successful women and writers, and those who, like Vonda and me, preferred a general discussion in which as many voices as possible might be heard. The lot-drawn panel format, she suggested, worked splendidly, and people talked that afternoon about living and working in a society that conceives of power and leadership almost totally in male terms, talked with a cogency and often a poignancy that have stayed with me and enriched my understanding ever since. I read this piece as my opening statement. At the time, I was thinking about a series of these reports. The first report was published in Antaeus, and then in my story collection, The Compass Rose. But so far, there are only 2. Communications from Derb seem to have been interrupted. Your Highness, I have been trying to figure out how to tell you a story about a representative person of Earth, so that you might be amused by the tale while learning from it, or from the spaces between the words, something about my world or yours. The trouble is, I have not been able to think of a representative person. I met a member of the House of Representatives once. He was an odd person, not representative at all. He entered the room when the party had been going on for an hour or so, and from the way the host and hostess and others went to him like bits of iron to a magnet, and from the way he spoke in rich tones, it was evident that he was important. Unfortunately, I lived in the wrong district and had never heard his name, and so when we were introduced, I was puzzled by the curiously professional way he shook my hand, as if handshaking were a profession, and by the way he used his eyes. He used them as a means of looking straight into my eyes with an expression of intense sincerity. I had the impression that he did not see me. I don't know who or what he did see. He talked well and loudly, told 2 fairly dirty jokes at dinner, and laughed. He impinged upon all of us, while none of us seemed to affect him in any way. He exuded himself while absorbing nothing. From what inexhaustible source, since he never replenished it by drawing upon the rest of the universe, did he draw so much self to exude? When I found out, on the way home, that he was a representative, I thought that explained it. His inexhaustible source was power, power itself. He was, as it were, plugged into the main. But this disqualified him as a representative person. Most people have to generate their own power. Once upon a time, a baby was born and named Sauru. When she was little, her mother carried her into the fields and laid her in the shade at the field's edge while the work went on. When Sauru got bigger, she ran about in a village with the other little children and played down by the stream. The children made toy boats out of big leaves. Sauru liked to make little mud figures of people and set them in the boats. The boats always sank, and the mud figures dissolved quickly in the muddy water, becoming swirls of tiny particles drifting downstream. Saru learned how to prepare food with her mother and aunt and elder sister. With other girls, she learned other necessary skills, such as sewing, mat making, roof repair, dancing, fire tending, milking, storytelling, genealogy, and all the labors of the fields. She was healthy, merry, and industrious. And not long after she attained puberty, Anfei's family came to ask about her dowry. Presently, she became Anfei's wife and went to live in that household. There, she worked very hard, but Anfei's three younger sisters were jolly and affectionate, and the four of them were always laughing and playing and joking. Saru's first baby was born on the day it rained after the long drought. The rain beat like great drums, and the child was a beautiful and healthy girl. The next year she had a boy, and the year after that a girl. Anfei's father died then, and the man from Monoi came and insisted that the debt be paid. The family could not pay at all, and he would not accept part payment, so they lost the land. Saru and Anfei and the three babies and Anfei's youngest sister had to move in with Anfei's mother's sister, who was a mean, lazy old woman. That house was so dirty it could not be cleaned, and far too small for them all. But Saru managed. She worked for Tima in the fields. When the chance for a good marriage for Anfei's youngest sister came up, Saru saw to it that a dowry was provided, though she missed her sister-in-law's company. And now, while she was in the fields, she had to leave the children in the care of the old woman. Anfei was a good-natured man and a hard worker, but he hated being tied down to one job for long. He quit work so often that he couldn't always find it, and went without work sometimes for weeks and months. At such times, he would hang around with other men and drink, and come home drunk and treacherous and full of rage. Then he and the old woman would quarrel, and the children would hide from them until Saru came home from the fields. One day, in the long rains, Anfei and the old woman began quarreling again. He began swearing and hitting her. The eldest girl knew that after her father left, the old woman would beat the children, so she took the two little ones and ran to hide down by the river where they often played. The river was swollen with rain, and the banks were caving in. The bank fell away under the eldest girl's feet, and she was swept away by the river. The little ones came crying to the house. When people came to the field where Saru was working and told her, she sat down on the wet ground and rocked her body, crying out, "Oh, oh, my child of the rain, my child of the rain." She was 5 months pregnant then. After that happened, Anfei drove the old woman out of her own house, and she went to live with her granddaughter in Monoi. Anfei got a job he liked, working on the dam they were building upriver. He could only come home twice a month, but he got very good pay. Saru was not well and had to stop working in the fields. She got the house as clean as it could be got and was content looking after the two children, but she still did not feel well. More than a month before her time, she began to bleed, and they could not stop the bleeding. And so she died, and the baby was stillborn. Anfei's elder sister took the two children. Saru lived 20 years, 8 months, and 4 days. What I don't know how to do, you see, is put Saru and the member of the House of Representatives together so that they make any sense. Saru seems to say, work, laugh, grieve, die. And the representative says, I. And neither can hear the other. If you put the two together, it does make sentences. I work, I laugh, I grieve, I die. But these sentences mean such different things to Saru and to the representative. He might even deny that the last two sentences, I grieve, I die, were true. Saru would deny none of them. But she probably would have seen little sense in talking about such things. She went ahead and did them. And maybe sang about them. The representative also indubitably has worked and laughed and will die. But he does not want these matters mentioned, preferring such terms as profit incentive, recreation, life expectancy. I can't think how he would refer to grief at all, perhaps as mental health problems. But since Saru simply did not exist, was a total blank in respect to profit incentive, recreation, life expectancy, and mental health problems, the representative would be unable to comprehend the fact that she existed, or indeed that anyone else exists. So we are back to his I, and to the subject of power. Power is said to be the most important thing on Earth. It is said that if Saru had had power, various sorts of power, but all deriving from the sort of power the representative has, if Saru had been plugged into the main, her life would have been 3 or 4 times longer and happier. The life expectancy of the representative is certainly more than 3 times longer than Saru's life, and 10 times longer than Saru's eldest daughter's life. Is a life expectancy, however, a life? At 11 years old, Saru was a very good dancer. Can people who are plugged into the main dance? Or can they only twitch as the electricity courses through their veins? They say the victims of electrocution and the subjects of electroshock therapy, when the power is switched on, do a sort of dance. I have a notion that the word power has become a form empty of content, which has meaning only as the individual fills it, pours the molten bronze of a life and self into that empty mold. Other such words are God, country, justice, rights. They are words frequently used by the representative. But has he ever filled them with anything? Is I what should fill those great empty forms? The architect gives me the blueprint. There, he says. There's your house. Very nice. When will you start work on it? Start work? I'm an architect, not a carpenter. It's finished. I've done my work. Why don't you move in? So I move into the blueprint. I become very clever at cooking nutritious paper stew, which my family eats all grouped cheerily together in the dining area of the blueprint. We furnish the living room with cutouts from an advertisement for a colonial American living room suite in the daily paper. We find a color TV in the Sunday supplement. Sometimes the representative appears on our TV in one dimension, since it is only a two-dimensional set, and he talks about power. Other men appear, talking about power to the people, the power struggle in South Erewhon, the orderly transfer of power, the power shortage, and so on. It was a tricky job cutting out the little tiny paper cord and plug for the TV set, but it works fine. Your Highness, I am still looking for a representative person of Earth. But there seems to have been a power failure somewhere. Please give me some time.